With traffic, errands, and parking, cars can be a chore.
But a great car can be an adventure, a getaway, and a prized possession.
Whatever your budget or family require, there's a car out there you'll love. We're here to help you find it. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul. And this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us as always. We do two podcasts a week. Have you realized this, Paul? It's a lot of podcasting. You and I talk a lot.
We do. We were just talking a lot about all kinds of business before we launched the podcast. And I just decided to push record because at some point we need to start.
We do have to start at some point.
I will
point,
trim
yes.
everything. I'll edit everything out. It's no problem.
What's actually really cool.
Yeah, it gets snarky and funny and... It's a little saucy in here.
It does. It just a little bit. A little bit inappropriate at times. But moving on. We actually have a patron call right after we record this podcast. I mean, there's a lot going on this week. We're trying to get a lot of things happened. Hey, by the way, did you notice yesterday, because it's Friday today, yesterday, Thursday, we dropped that little 959 GT2 RS Porsche piece. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
That is a YouTube-only piece. Somebody asked when I dropped the trailer, where is this going to be and how much is it going to cost? I was like, it's going to be on YouTube and it's going to have an ad in front of it.
Well, I thought they meant, you mean how much the cars cost?
Different
question. Because the 959 is pretty expensive, but the GT2 RS is not cheap.
Exactly,
so it represents the most money we've ever had on screen.
One shoot at one time. You're right. Absolutely.
And it was only taken up in two cars. And I know there's more expensive cars on the planet, but I think it's a milestone for us. And I'm pretty darn proud of what we did.
I agree. I think
this is
that the Corvette shoot, maybe even the 911 shoot, a Corvette shoot I think may have had more total money involved.
But divided up into more cars.
Exactly. Right. This is up there and it was two cars because when one of them that you bring is already over seven figures, it adds up quick. I'm just saying.
Well,
you know.
What they did, the kind owner of the 959 added us to his corporate insurance policy for the exact day that we were driving, so just to add coverage. So they were very serious. They needed our driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. They wanted to add us to the policy.
It was a thing, yeah.
And that's the reason we got to drive him. But,
It was very cool.
Of course, trusted us. So thanks to Lux Auto Spa and Lux Auto Sales.
To Max and also to Jens for bringing those two cars and allowing us to do that. If you haven't seen it yet or if you're listening to this years from now, there is a piece on YouTube that is about the 959 versus the GT2 RS because we felt like those two Porsche Pinnacles were great things to put together. It's a fun piece we're proud of. It also, and here's a question that's been asked, why on earth is this going to YouTube? Because I don't think that I can, with a straight face, make a TV episode for our Everyday Driver show that is focused on cars less than $60,000 and drop that on cable and say, by the way, left turn, here's $2 million worth of automobiles we're going to drive around for the day
here on
Everyday Driver. So we didn't do that.
I'd get a lot of flack from my family.
You would.
We'd get a lot of flack.
But at the same time, that was the perfect kind of piece to put on YouTube. So we hope you've seen it and enjoyed it. And if you have enjoyed it and you know anybody that would like to see those cars driven around quite quickly, we'd love for you to pass it on too.
I think what's the most fun about it is it's both cars are driven through the filters of what we usually drive cars for and the things we look for. So it's not just, oh my gosh, I'm driving in this heavenly expensive.
Yeah, true.
No, it's
true.
What if you owned this and lived with it? And that was my whole headspace is what if you lived with this and had it in your garage and you walked out and you think, okay, all the things you think about, all right, tires and gas and insurance and oil changes and okay, all the things that I, this beast requires, but you know what? I'm going driving anyway. I'm going to enjoy it. But here's what I look for out of the drive. And it doesn't matter. So here's what this feeling of money feels like.
It's crazy.
How expensive it was. It's the same filters we drive cars through. And, well, we don't drive cars through the filters. But you know what I mean.
Yes, we're following anyway. Yes.
Anyway, so it was the same kind of metrics that we drive cars about, which I really liked, really enjoyed. But then you step away and I keep going, I can't believe we drove these two cars.
Yes. Well, here's the funny thing. We actually were at
Lux much fun.
After the fact. And they have that 959 there on their sales floor, kind of like behind the velvet rope. And so it's funny to see that car and think, I've driven that quite quickly.
You're just there it is sitting there,
crashing nobody's allowed to get near it, and I've driven it hard, which is honestly, this is one of those things, and then I will leave this topic. This is one of those moments that I look at you and we both realize, wait a minute, we're getting to do something right now that would have never ever happened in life if not for this show, which is really cool when those opportunities arise and we kind of step back and realize that that's really cool. And one of the reasons that we get to do stuff like that is because you guys hang out with us. You listen. Thank you for being here on the podcast. If you haven't rated or reviewed it, we would appreciate it. Also, I would still appreciate your rating on season 5 on Amazon. We haven't quite gotten enough ratings on there. You guys are rating it. Thank you. But we haven't gotten enough yet for it to populate Yes, I check these things. For it to populate the rating, because that's what the, I want. I want people, if they look it up, to see a rating connected to it of some kind.
Right, right.
So if you guys have thought about rating season 5 or you've seen it yet on Amazon, we would love your rating on there. That is genuinely very helpful for their algorithms and the you should watch this next.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we can't control, but you guys can influence. So we appreciate that.
For sure. And just a reminder that all this is possible thanks to our families, our sponsors.
Yeah, you're right.
At Covercraft and Grills Garage. You can use the code EVERYDAY for 10% off whatever you order. And then somebody said, it canceled out the shipping too, so it even saved more money.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
Anyway, I look at these companies, like I said, as our family. We're part of these guys, and they're kind of part of us too. And so we just... we love having them alongside as sponsors, and they are definitely who helped bring all this to life for sure. So thank you to both of those. As Todd mentioned, we do have a Patreon call, and that is a board member call. That's a video link on Zoom, and that's what we do for our top-level board members right after this podcast. And so that is the top tier of donations. So we call them our board members, and we run ideas past them.
Yeah,
and
it's always very cool.
Bounce ideas off them. So if it you know, you're able to contribute to the show, all that goes right back to production, which is in the categories of a big shoot that's not for TV like this one for YouTube.
Help. You're right.
I mean, you went through, you know, music selection and audio mixing and color correction.
It was a TV style edit, just not for TV. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
In that way. So that's what we're doing. But if you also look on Patreon, you can join the Discord, which
at
is sort
level.
Of like
any
the
level
online
of Patreon,
Slack for discussion where the podcast rolls on, the debate rages on, and all kinds of subjects are brought on. So I've been trying to be more diligent jumping on there this week and having some fun conversations on there. So thank you guys, all you guys
really
listening
cool.
who are on Discord with me. And a lot of fun. And then also on the website, you can also find the link to the GoFundMe, which at the very top of everydaydriver.com, you can find our big sedan challenge that we're still pushing on that, still pushing on content. You can read all about that, ultimately raffling the cars off at the end if it works. It may not work.
And we're getting good feedback from you guys.
It's an open hand.
Good support. I mean, we are going to have that kind of available up until probably about Halloween, and then we'll make the decision on do we have enough money and enough interest to actually go forward on this. And we are. The open hand is a good description. We are trying to just go, okay, this is fun and funny, and you guys have said you want to support it, so how far are we going to go with it? So that's where we're at, and it's pretty interesting. I would love to have a couple of big sedans and drive them around and compare them to new stuff. There's a lot of plans for it. Here's the thing. We're planning without scheduling. Another way to put it. We're going, okay, if, then kind of conversations. But we'll see what happens. Two good car debates coming up today. We've got a Delphin writing to us from Tasmania.
This is our first Tasmania car debate.
If you're curious, just type in Tasmania and look at the tiny little island off the southeastern coast of Australia that is
so
kind of between Australia and New Zealand. It's just a little island. He's from there. He's writing there, which is really, really cool. And then coming back to the States big time, we've got Ben writing to us from commuting in Houston, Texas. And he has big questions about a big hauler.
Yes, in a van down by the river. Well,
no, not that. Not that. None
Delphin,
of that.
He writes to us from Tasmania. And I had such a fun time learning all about Tasmania. Google Earth is your friend. You can drop the little guy onto the roads, and you can find... he actually wrote to us the shop where he's getting one of his cars worked on.
It's crazy.
And I dropped the pin right on the shop.
Of course you did. Like, this is what's possible.
Bayview Tire and Auto in Tasmania. There it is.
But it's all those cul-de-sacs we talk about on the internet that you have no reason to go down, and then we do suddenly because we get an email from Tasmania. We're like, I'm going to walk down the streets of Tasmania, which I've never said until right now and would have never thought of, but yet we can do it because of technology. And we can do it because you guys write to us from those kind of things. It's awesome. It really is.
Absolutely. Well, Delphin discussed Everyday Driver a couple months ago and said he's been binging the content. Thank you so much. He said he's watched most of the TV series, all the movies, except for American Original. Thank you so much. I'm glad we can reach you down there and feed the disease, even there.
Yeah.
And he said he's currently 31. He's a general practitioner, family physician, and skin cancer doctor. He's married, and he and his wife are looking to possibly have a child in the coming 2 to 3 years. And they're settled on only having one child, so they don't need a lot of passenger seats. Okay. He said his wife is wonderful and supportive, but isn't a car lover herself.
She's tolerating you is what you're basically saying in a nice way.
You see the arms folded, tapping your foot. And I know she's listening at
probably,
this point.
Yeah.
We know spouses jump on and listen when people discover that we're debating your car or your story.
Yeah, it definitely
happens. Of course
it's
shared. So thank you for sharing those. Hello, Delphin's wife. How are you? Welcome to the debate. Yes, well, she drives a Toyota Corolla that Delphin says will never stop running. Has 5 seats, so it's a good family car. Well, he's loved cars since childhood, was foolish enough to start his driving career in a Japanese sports car.
Uh-oh.
He's learned some valuable lessons about cars and life, he says.
Yeah, I would say probably so. 16-year-old fun car, that really kind of only ends one way. Actually, there was a stat for a while, side note, in Los Angeles, where if a 16-year-old driver in Los Angeles had a 50-50 shot of an accident in their first year.
You're kidding me.
50-50.
What?
Now, I don't know if that stat is still true. This was probably 10, 15 years ago when I knew somebody that was a very cautious parent that had just gotten their teen driving, and they did the research, and it was a 50-50 shot.
My mouth is hanging open over here.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, so the disease has bitten hard, Delphin says. He bought his first Euro coupe, BMW 125i, upgraded to an Audi RS5. Mm-hmm. Lovely. He's done a lot of driving. He's done the Audi driving experience. He's done some track days in the RS5. He's had the chance to drive some other cool cars, including Mustang GT, Jaguar XKR, a Vantage, and a Gallardo.
Very cool. I love it.
He says, Tasmania is a wonderful part of the world. To be honest, I didn't know. I'm not looking up Tasmania.
It literally is the other side of the world.
It really is.
Yeah.
He says they have a very mild climate compared to the remainder of Australia. The state has a fairly low population, and he said the landscape is filled with great coastline, native forest, mountains, and driving roads galore.
Cool. That's fantastic. I love it.
And the best part is the Targa Tasmania Rally, which brings exotics to their mountain passes. The website for that is targa.com.au. And he said drivers from around Australia and the world bring their cars from old Datsuns, WRXs, GT3s, and Ferraris. So he's lucky enough to have six of the Targa Tasmania routes within an hour of his house. So he goes and does some spirited driving on the weekends. He says Oyster Cove is a good place and Tinderbox. So he's got this car history, which is not extensive, but does include a couple of Japanese cars, including a 95 Mitsubishi FTO, 200 horsepower, little fun Japanese sports car, front wheel drive, V6, prone to understeer. He says, I had two fairly decent crashes, both understeer related.
Yikes. Okay.
Pavement and a tree met my front end, he says. He had a 2005 Mitsubishi 380, which I believe was the Gallant here in the States. I think that was the equivalent of the Gallant. It was the revised Gallant at that year. So not the greatest looking, but he says reliable, heavy, front-wheel drive. He still has this car after 10 years of ownership, uses it at his rubbish tip, sports training, and trailer pulling beater.
All of the stuff that might not get cleaned out later goes in that car. That's really what happens, yes.
Then he had an 09 BMW 125 M Sports, the coupe. He says, my first adult sports car. He's owned this car for 18 months and loved it. And, of course, the handling. He says, love that. But after completing an Audi RS drivetrain, driving, everything that's
all the
sports
RS
car
models,
is.
The much hotter lineup in the Audi lineup. Yeah.
He sold it and he bought the Audi RS5, which he picked up secondhand for a steal, about 29,000 US, about 43,000 Australian dollars.
RS5 for that is good.
Those are hot.
They're very cool.
I always like the wavy rotors. I always were curious about the wavy rotors on those RS models from that era.
Really dug
that. All right, so he likes that car, and then he just recently bought an 04 WRX STI for $6,500 US, Australian dollars. He says the previous owner had not looked after it, needs an engine rebuild, and so he's got this local mechanic who's a rally driver, likes to support local motorsports folks. So Troy Johnston at Bayview Tire and Auto in Tasmania.
This is where you were using the satellite photo to kind of practically digitally walk in the door and say hi.
You can drop your pin right on there, and indeed they have a great view of the bay.
That's awesome.
Good looking.
That's awesome. But he's bought this car essentially because he would like to see, can I enter the Targa? Can I actually use this in the Targa? Can I make this my road rally car? Because it clearly isn't expensive. He's going to get it running. There's nothing precious about it. He bought it purposely to be, if you will, I don't mean this to sound weird, but it's like the doesn't matter beater borderline race car.
Yeah, that's kind of
so
exactly what it is.
So he's just going to use it for that. So this is where the question comes in because, he's got this STI. He has this RS5, which he likes, but he's wondering, is it time for a new experience? How do we shuffle the garage here? Because he thinks over the next couple of years he's going to be able to make a change, but he's debating, how soon and what change is essentially what we're dealing with, because now he's got essentially two very different toys. The RS5 is the fun, nice commuter, but of course, let's be honest, it's still big, heavy, all-wheel drive. He misses a little bit of the rear-wheel drive feel of that BMW, but then it clearly, the 04 STI is a no-money project that can just get balled up. Let's hope it doesn't happen, but can get balled up. Its point is to just get beat on and driven hard in a road rally. Mm-hmm. So it's very different tools here.
Well, Delphine says over the coming three to five years, he can budget 20 to 50,000 Australia dollars, 13,500 to 34,000 US dollars
on a
car upgrade or car related activities. And he doesn't like depreciation, so he gets stuff that is low miles, good condition, between 2 and 8 years old. And he says he's got this mechanic. Excellent, affordable. He's not opposed to doing some
You practically shook his hand through Google today. It's pretty funny.
It was awesome. Yeah. I could cruise around. There's beautiful, beautiful countryside there. We really need to go down there. We need to figure something out. That would be a long travel, but I think worth it. So Delphine gives us three options. And he's really put a lot of thought into this. I can see that.
Yeah,
and because
your debate
is between 3 and 5 years out, audience, I feel like in the next 2 to 3 years alone, we have some great cars coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
Just based
on
what we've seen, rumors, new models, based on new stuff that's available now. The C8 Corvette is a great example of, holy moly, they dropped a mid-engine Corvette on us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the new Supra and all these cars, the first electric Porsche, the Taycan, all these cool cars coming out. I feel like, you know, with Volkswagen doing their thing, BMW promising a lot of new electric cars, I think the enthusiast car kingdom is not lost with where we're going. But this is an exciting time. So with these options, yes, I understand depreciation. I'm not saying new. But ultimately, reading all these options, which we're going to get into here, is experiential.
Yeah,
I keep seeing experience in here
because
of all these cars coming out. And the cars that you've listed, Delphine, like an M2 or a 997 or a, you know, Cayman S, 981 Cayman S or Mustang GT, he's listed a lot of the usual suspects.
He has, for
sure. Those will be even cheaper in 2 to 3 years from this podcast.
Of course they will, yeah, for sure.
But there will be so many more new, tasty, tempting choices that are coming out.
Yeah, what would be possible then, yeah.
I'm not saying we should all hold back because, well, at what point do you pull the trigger and buy? Because as soon as you buy the new iPhone, the next one drops. And you go, gah.
You have to just keep moving. And here's the thing. Delphine's saying, I'm going to do this in a little bit. I don't think he's waiting very long. I don't get the sense that he's really going to wait that long.
Yeah,
I think he's
looking
at his budgeting over the next few years, but I think this car purchase might be sooner rather than later. By the way, I have to take one off the list real quick. You listed that you're 6'5" and you're wondering if you could fit in a Lotus Exige.
Mm.
I seriously doubt it.
That's going to be tough.
I seriously doubt it. If you have a longer torso than I do, then the answer is no. If you are a person with a short torso and long legs, you don't mind your legs kind of cricketing beside the steering wheel, for lack of a better way to put it, you might be okay. But my head almost touches the roof almost all the time. I'm like a quarter inch off. When I wear a helmet, I have to crouch in my car.
Yeah.
So if you're 6'5", I'm only 6'3", but I have a long torso. I think the Exige is out, but there's a lot of good options here. The first option of the three he gives is keep the WRX, sell the RS5, get something new and fun, and hopefully rear-wheel drive. Again, I think the Exige is too small for you.
Mm-hmm.
The second option is keep both the RS5 and the WRX, and obviously the STI becomes a tarmac rally car. And then he tries to buy something really cheap as a dedicated tracker. Is there a track on Tasmania?
I think the whole state is a track.
Yeah, I start to get that impression.
Maybe.
Of course, at this point, we're talking about things like a cheap used 86 or maybe go back to another BMW 1 Series, S2000, MX5. A cheap track-only car that is not the rally-bred car. Or option three, keep the two cars he has and spend the money. I love this twist. Spend the money on doing things, having car experiences.
He says he realizes this is a very I'm crying into my glass of wine sort of debate.
But it's really interesting.
But it is. And I keep coming to the things that you've listed here and under option three as experiential. He says his wife wants him to stop buying more cars. He says the option of experience will probably make her the happiest, but she'll still support him even if he makes another bad car decision. So using this in mind, you know what? With the cars he's listed, there must be some severe depreciation on high-performance luxury cars like these, you know, the Porsches, the Mustang GT.
I'm sure there's a huge upcharge to get them there, and then I bet they drop off cliffs.
I mean, that's pretty astounding, to be honest. So he says, first of all, compete in Targa Tasmania 1, 2, or more times.
Love it.
Increase his number of track days per year. Also good. Complete a pilgrimage trip. Yes, you need to come on the pilgrimage trip with us. We plan to do this every year in, you know, 2021, 2022.
He said, are you going in 21, 22?
I
sure hope so. That'd be the plan for sure,
We'll say yes. So yes, please come on a trip with us. And he's also mentioning a holiday in the USA, renting muscle cars and sports cars. Of course, you can do the, you know, the California loop up through Vegas, do the Grand Canyon Southwest kind of loop.
Yeah.
You can do the, you know, the Midwest track loops. You can do the East Coast thing. There's tons of stuff. I mean, you could spend a month in the US and not even begin to scratch all this stuff.
Most of the people that live in the U.S. have not barely scratched the stuff, for sure, yeah.
So this is the debate of live with and enjoy the cars that he's got, that STI that he's getting in the engine rebuild, and also the RS5, and then start doing more experiential stuff. So I like that so much because I don't want to settle on a car. For you, Delphine, I don't want you to settle on a car and be like, well, tattooed in your arm and this is it and for all time, and you know, the grill marks on the steak, that is the car, you know, here we go.
Grill marks on the steak. You know what I mean? Like that. That's funny.
This is very funny. For all time, because then you'll write us back in, I don't know, 6 months and be like, guys, hi, it's me.
Exactly. I'm a car freak and I want something different. Yeah, that's
great suggestion and all, and I took it and my wife is unhappy and so blah, you know, whatever else the situation is. I don't want that to happen, so I don't want you to land in, you know, oh, you got to get a 911, or oh, yes, go get that M2. I'm almost up for, because of the roads you've got and because of the experiences that you've got, clearly Audi comes and gives you the experience.
Yeah.
Do other car companies come and do the same thing and let you drive the M lineup or the AMG lineup, or, you know, do other car companies do this kind of thing? It sounds like you've got a lot of car experiences that are easily accessible, unlike most of us who have to travel to a coast, or we've got to go to the, you know, Mid-Ohio track day, or we've got to go to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got all these experiences that are close to you that I like. But then you have a great point, Todd, and that is, I think he wants something right now to scratch the itch.
I think that's part of the problem. Yeah.
Feed the itch, right?
Feed the itch is what we try to do here. By the way, there are two, count them, two racetracks on Tasmania. I just looked it up.
Are there really?
There are two racetracks. Neither one is very large, but it's hysterical to me that there are two racetracks. I'm looking at Baskerville right now. I don't know where you went, but I'm listing that one right now. So anyway, there are two racetracks. The thing I want to take away here, this is going to sound weird because it's not a direct connection, but I want to step to the side for a second. When I was growing up, like late high school, early college, I remember I took a family trip to Hawaii. Okay? And, you know, you go to Hawaii and you do all the touristy things. You have to be on the boat and go out and see the Nepali coast off Kauai.
Of course.
You have to do this and you have to do the typical stuff.
Yeah, Arizona and all that stuff. Yeah.
So while you're there, eventually, of course, you're meeting people that are native Hawaiians.
Yeah.
Who have lived there their whole life and work in the tourist industry, and they're all very nice. But you get into conversations with a lot of them. I remember being on, I think it was a snorkeling thing, and I was talking to one of the guys that worked on the boat.
Okay.
He'd never been anywhere else but the Hawaiian Islands in his lifetime.
Really?
He grew up.
About how old was he?
He was in his 40s. He was a grown man working the boat.
Okay. All right.
Now, look, I don't think this guy is alone in that. But the thing I thought about that is, okay, he loves his life. He's got a good job. He was married. He had kids. He was a full guy with a full life. He didn't express any concern about the fact he hadn't been anywhere but Hawaii. But
or
I was like,
lament.
No, it wasn't like, oh, woe is me. He was just like, yeah, never been anywhere else. And I thought, you know, the world is huge, right? And you know, this island is gorgeous, but not really very big. So the thing I love about this is actually you do have racetracks. You have a rally that comes to you. You have a lot of car experience on the island of Tasmania, which is great, Delphin. But I really think the experience thing here is where this money should go. Because there's a lot of world out there that can be car experience world, and there are places you can go that your wife would probably be intrigued by as well.
That's the other thing. He's going to score a point or two with his wife if he does the experience thing.
I mean,
right?
I think, look, there's a middle option here, which is possibly you get rid of your RS5 and you get something that's one of your rear-wheel drive options. You swap car for car. You could do that.
Sure,
okay,
sure.
At some point. But I don't even want to pursue that. If you're wanting rear-wheel drive back, there's really no replacement for it. I think you may as well, because, look, I understand car collections. I'm trying to not have one, and yet I want one at the same time. I think there is the swap the RS5 for the commute day car that happens to be rear-wheel drive. I think that's the better choice there. But whether that happens or not, get off the island of Tasmania and go places where you can have a car experience and you and your wife can have a vacation experience. And that can be the U.S. and that can be Japan and it can be Europe. And I don't know where all, okay? But I think there are a lot of car experiences that you will cherish if you get off the island and you go somewhere else and the money goes to that. And I think it will potentially, if so here's the other thing. If you can do that road rally there at home,
that's huge.
That's an amazing life experience.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of the other big life experience, pilgrimage trip, that you're going to have want to do, you're going to have to get off the island to do them. So I think this is money spent. We haven't done this in a while, but I think this is money spent toward adventures and experiences and not a car.
You know, it's interesting you touch on that because you and I have discussed experiences for the show rather than you know, compete in Miata club racing, you know, for a season or something like that, or you have a dedicated car. That's not really the point, but there's so many driving experiences out there that we want to experience and share with you, our audience.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
for
kind
sure.
of our headspace from a show perspective.
Yeah.
Of course, it, you know, makes a variety of content and that kind of thing. I had a similar story in my early career working as a furniture designer early on, and the principal of the design studio, it was a four-person design studio. The principal, his name's on the door, and so his entire business was, you know, extended long-term income. So do a design of a chair, and really, there's very few products on the planet that you can design and make royalties for years and years. So you're probably familiar with the Casablanca Fan Company. Early in his career, the owner couldn't pay him what he was worth for his designs, and so he said, you know what, I'll offer you a royalty if you design me this ceiling fan. And so he said, all right, fine. I'm, you know, struggling along here, but all right, fine. It's hard to see that way out there. He still made something like 150 grand a year for 21 years, at least straight.
Wow.
Just off one design, because once people buy the fan, well, then they need to buy replacement parts. And it was still a good looking enough design that it's in Home Depot everywhere. It's still sold. He's still making money. And I just went, oh my gosh. All right. So
there's a business plan. Yeah.
I learned quite a lot from him, but one of the things that stuck out was when he looked me in the eye and said, as a designer, you need to get more experience. You need to go experience cultures. You need to go experience how people use not just office furniture, but outdoor furniture and, you know, products and goods. And you need to go travel the world and go learn how people use goods as a product designer. And you also need to go to the factories where they make them. And, you know, is it, are we designing an aluminum chair where you torture metal into the shape of the thing you're designing? Or is it the teak factories in the Philippines or Indonesia or wherever that is? The right material and where, you know, where the factory makes that thing. And so I want you to go travel and get good, and that will influence your experience as a designer. And I relate that to all of us as car people to go get these experiences like we're talking about.
That's good.
Like we
want
to share with you this German pilgrimage trip, German Belgium.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to share these experiences, because it matters not if you shave tenths off your lap time.
Yeah.
Do we want to get there? Sure.
Sure, but that's not important for the value of the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Delphine, you have, I think, more opportunity and availability to go do this, I think, than most, because a lot of our debates center around a specific need for a specific area. And guys, I need a car. I've got to have this car, and this is what it has to do. You haven't named that necessarily. You've kind of got that covered. You haven't said, well, I've got all these things, and I need a car for this. You're kind of open. And so, very different than recommending a car, I do want to add to these experiences for you. Because then once you go do these experiences, you're going to drive different cars and you come away thinking, I will never drive a Mustang again or a Camaro, whatever. Or I had no idea blah was so good. Name a car.
Sure. Well, but I also think, I mean, you and I have tried in our seasons of television. We're up to season five. We're shooting season six. It's crazy. We have tried to put an adventure episode in every single season, and that is us doing something that is not about the car we're driving. It's about the experience we're having with that car. We did Laguna Seca Racetrack and also Pacific Coast Highway. We did the Jeep in Moab with my son making ridiculous comments in the backseat and waving at the camera. We did, you know, we've done the Lemons thing. That falls into this adventure thing. This season we did Speed Vegas.
Yeah.
Because the offshoot of the Everyday Driver brand, besides just being cars that we want you to love what you drive and you can afford it and it works for your life, it's just people spend money on golf trips, photography trips. I want to go on a cruise. You can do that with a car-centered perspective, and you can get life experiences you can't imagine because you spent a little bit of money to get access to a Speed Vegas or a whatever. So I think you're firmly in that camp, Delphin. I'm excited for you.
Very much so. Well, yeah, I think you've touched on it. And that is, both of us are leaning less of sell this or buy that and more, yeah, go in these experiences. But more importantly, you know, before you have a family, take your wife, go do these things. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that travel is inexpensive. It's not.
No.
It can be wildly expensive depending on, you know, what level of luxury do you want? Do you want to sleep on the floor of a train station on concrete, or mm-hmm. do you want to, you know, stay in a 4 or 5 star luxury hotel?
And you're coming from Tasmania, which is kind of near nothing. So there's that.
So there, you know, planes are going to be involved for sure. But I think what we're recommending before you settle on something, because you do have two great cars now.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That Subaru is going to be built into a monster because I know you're going to throw money at it and it's going to, you know, it's going to place, right?
Your friend, the mechanic, is working on it for you. Uh-huh.
Podium placement, 1, 2, or 3. What are we thinking in your
There's
class?
The next 10 years of his life. It's just, honey, one more year.
No. Next year will be the...
Oh, no. I'm sorry to your wife now if that's what happens. Anyway, yeah.
If you decide to get a car, we're all for it. Of course.
Yeah.
Let us know what you buy, by the way. But if, you know, these experiences will help, you know, influence and color your driving experience, mm-hmm. I think that's where you and I...
Agreed.
Our headspace are. And what you were talking about with the experiences that we do for TV seasons, they're also accessible. We don't want them to be, we went and did this thing that none of the rest of you can ever afford or do.
Yeah.
It's more about, hey, we did this thing. You should come try it too.
Yes, absolutely. They're all within that range of the expense of a typical vacation. We're not going to do the kind of, we got flown and put on a yacht and then it, no, come on.
I
want to do that. I want to fly on somebody's G6 to their Wally yacht to Monaco to drive the whatever.
Sure.
But that's not really an everyday driver adventure now, is it? I'll happily take that itinerary if somebody's offering and has extra seats. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll shoot it and we'll tell you how it was because of that whole thing that grinds my teeth. You know, that we'll find out. You know, every automotive journalist says, well, we're here to find out. Grr, of course you are. Why am I watching? To find out.
That's why you collected a bunch of cars.
We're
going to
go find out.
Yeah, that's funny.
Stop finding out. Just drive. Anyway, Delphine, thank you for your email. Please keep us posted on what happens and really appreciate you being along for the ride. If you've got your own Topic Tuesday or debate similar or not, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line, but send in your story as well because I think part of the experience and story surrounding what car is, you know, that you're choosing, because then when we do car conclusions, we can say, hey, remember that photographer slash underwater basket welding, you know, whatever.
Underwater basket welding. I love that. I make underwater tripods for my underwater camera gear.
Exactly.
I need a car that carries all of that stuff and could get covered in ocean water. I'm building a fun car debate now. It's
underwater
fantastic.
Welding combined with basket weaving.
I'm with
it's
you.
All the same.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's going
to
be fine.
Tell us your story. Write to us, everydaydrivertv@gmail.com. You can find out more info about the adventures, stuff that we plan to. Love to have you along for the ride.
We're all looking for great driving roads, and we've even tried to share and list some of them along the way. But now there's an app that can help anyone worldwide mark, share, and find the best roads everywhere.
DriveLine is the world's first social driving app. It allows you to easily record and classify your favorite road, and you can mark great pit stops, record and attach video, and you can create pins with photos to share.
It's the first sharing and social driving app. You can follow people that drive interesting roads, see what they're driving. You can search an area you've never driven before. And if you find a route you like, you just hit drive it and get guided to the beginning of your new favorite road.
You can even earn points and patches for your activities on the app, which build towards actual car giveaways. As the community grows, DriveLine will be giving away cars to members, and your posting and drives earn you points to win.
We've never seen anything like this, and we love the combination of community and great drives. You can get in early right now and shape the app and the community. So download DriveLine to your phone today. Start sharing your favorite roads, meeting other drivers, and finding a new route for your next adventure.
Summer is finally here, and with that comes sunshine and blistering hot car interiors. You know, the leather seats that you thought were a great idea until you scald your legs.
Luckily, all you need is a custom sunscreen from our friends at Covercraft. They're awesome. They're amazing. These foldable sunscreens fit perfectly in the windshield of your car and keep your car cooler when you're off enjoying the sunshine.
These custom sunscreens come in a variety of colors, and they're an affordable and simple way to keep your car cooler in the summer and protected from damaging UV rays all year long.
We swear by our custom sunscreens. I love it. It's one of our very favorite car accessories. Remember, you can get 10% off your car sunscreen by using the code EVERYDAY right now at covercraft.com, or you can follow the link from our sponsors page. We've all got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. I've got an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance to that list. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything.
All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, yes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance.
Having extra money in your pocket might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
We're often asked how we find the cars that we recommend to all of you listening. Whether it's local or nationwide, our searches start with Auto Tempest. Instead of searching each car shopping site separately, you can enter all your parameters for the car you're looking for into Auto Tempest one time, and then you can search for them all at once.
See results from Cars.com, Cars Direct, eBay, and more. Or you can jump to AutoTrader or Car Gurus without entering anything new. Same parameters, new site. You can even search all of Craigslist. Think about how hard it is to search Craigslist nationwide, one at a time. AutoTempest.com has got you covered there all at once.
AutoTempest can help you find your next new or used car, whether there's a dozen in your neighborhood or two in the country. Plus, the people at AutoTempest listen to this podcast, and they're always refining the site for more features. They've got research tools, buyer and seller guides, and they're listening to what their users need.
So if you're doing your own drive homework, you're chasing your dream car, or just looking to feed the disease, as we are all the time, AutoTempest.com is your place to start. We have some listener whiplash for you real quick, because instead of being in Tasmania, we're going to Houston, Texas, and instead of buying fun cars and fun experiences, we're redefining the family hauler.
Yeah, we are.
You with your Suburbans and your Yukon XLs, do not apply because it's not big enough for Ben.
Unbelievable. Well, Ben writes us from Houston. Thanks for listening to the podcast, Ben.
Yeah,
really appreciate
sure.
it. We're happy to be along the ride with you. He and his family are currently searching to upgrade their 2013 Sienna to something bigger. And as Tad said, full-size SUVs aren't going to cut it. They need more than 8 to 9 seats.
Yeah, let's break this down. They are currently expecting child number 4.
Wow.
They have had them in enough fast succession that all 4 will be in car seats boosters at the same time, and I'm guessing some of those probably have the fold-down trays and the missiles. So they're big.
Wow.
And his 16-year-old sister just moved in with he and his wife. So for those of you keeping track at home, that is 2 adults, 4 kids in car seats, and a teenager.
Wow. Well, the good news is they do long cross-country trips together.
That's the good news,
everyone.
Good news?
They do.
Sorry, that's the good news?
Here we go. Exactly. Houston to Minnesota, stops in Chicago and Wisconsin to visit family around.
You know, wow.
Trips around Texas, Austin, Dallas, Hill Country. They also get family members very often, so it's good to have the extra seats when parents and siblings who come in about every month, and so they, you know, they have some sort of family visitor, so they're looking at vans.
Yeah, they are.
We have never debated vans.
They're looking at vans.
Ever.
Yeah.
All right, so they're leaning towards, currently, the Mercedes Sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
That might have popped into your head, too.
Yeah.
12-passenger, 4 or 6-cylinder diesel, 144 inches with the high roof. And he says this makes it easier to get the kids in because, you know, being able to stand up in a van is amazing. He and his wife are both 6 feet tall, so the idea of hunching over to get the kids in the seats is not going to be good for the long term for their backs.
This is the entire reason why the Model X has falcon wing doors.
Did I tell you I saw that the other day at the grocery store? I saw a couple actually putting a child in from above.
Did they stand up in the falcon wing door and drop the kid in?
They dropped the kid in. The falcon wing doors were up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, there it is. That's marketing come to life. You're actually doing it.
I actually think when you buy a Model X, they give you that demo and they encourage you as a parent to only do that. I think it's all part of the marketing shtick. I think you're right. I don't think parents accidentally discover that. I think they're told that ahead of time, and that's why they bought it. Anyway, sorry. So the high roof is necessary so we can climb in the van and not hunch. Now, I will say, as a guy that has hit my head on more airplane interiors than I care to remember, having a high roof is nice.
Especially those CRJs. You get on, you think, we're on a big bam.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's the exit sign.
What is that doing
If you
there?
Need it, there it is. Just put a dent in my forehead.
No,
that's
kidding.
More than once.
Think about that.
So, they do that. So he's talking about the Ford Transit and the Nissan equivalent van. I forget what it's called. It's like it's got V's in it.
It's the shoe.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's shoes being kind.
Yeah.
He said those are obviously other options. He cannot stand the look of the Nissan. And he said he prefers the diesel that isn't available in the Ford Transit. Ford Transit is not available with a diesel. They can get the Sprinter van with a diesel. So the first question is, am I forgetting anything? Or Sprinter van ho? That's kind of, you know, it's the modern day wagon train. I have a Sprinter van. We're taking everybody. Okay.
Good news. We're going on a road trip.
So there's that.
Pile in.
But then here's where this also takes a turn. because his 16-year-old sister is moving in with them.
Yes.
She needs something to drive. They're clearly not going to hand her the keys to the van, plus they need it. You've heard about the kids in the car seats.
Right.
So, okay, there's an opportunity to get something fun, lightweight, manual transmission that gives her something challenging to drive. They want her in a manual. She's willing to do a manual. And he's hoping maybe they can buy something that they also will enjoy driving as well, he and his wife. That is a big twist. But because it's the 16-year-old in the car, the budget's $5,000. We're going to buy the cheap one so that if, let's hope it doesn't, hello, wife and sister who are both now listening, if she wrecks it, it was only a $5,000 car.
You know, Ben's like, this is the part, right yeah. here. Listen in.
Exactly.
There it is.
Right. Yeah, here we are. This is the part. This We've reached the part. So he thinks that the like Fiat 500 of Bart or the Fiesta ST might be a little bit too frantic for a first-time driver. What do we do that is fun for Ben and works for young sister? And, by the way, should we be somewhere other than Sprinter van?
I think you're being a little bit hard on your sister. You're saying you're expecting accidents and scrapes and dings and you're you know.
16-year-old drivers, you have to prepare for
it. I was conscientious.
You have to prepare for it but not expect it.
I suppose.
I think that's the fine line here.
He's hoping for chuckable and wagony. Chuckable wagony.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to stop there.
Please stop there.
He does not want to exceed $5,000, and they just sold the S2000. So, Honda, Japanese car, that got the Sienna. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He currently has a 2019 Ford Fusion Titanium, because that made it better as the company car. It's a precious metal. It's the... No, it's not.
If we call it titanium, it'll be awesome.
That'll make people want to buy it.
So,
no,
the
it
Ford
won't.
Flex Titanium, is that what it does, or is that just... Anyway, moving
is that
on.
The
sorry.
Badge color of the... Well, anyway. He admits it's not very exciting, but great for daily Houston commuting. Now, the budget is not to exceed $45,000 in total after selling the Sienna. So that means
45
five grand. Carved out for the car for the 16-year-old sister.
Yeah.
And then that leaves 40 left. So he's looking at vans. I do agree. I like the new Sprinter and I like the Transit. Not a huge fan of the Nissan.
Yes.
I found the Mercedes Metris, which is sold in the United States, but it stops at 8 passengers. What
That's
I like about
work.
It is form factor.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is what you pointed out, Ben, and that is no high roof.
Yeah.
I think you're going for, you know, high roof. I do know a guy down in Salt Lake who actually bought an old school bus and turned it into the University of Utah, like, rally trucklet thing. So
really?
He can take, I don't know, his whole cul-de-sac.
The brood.
Like, the brood, it's the grill, it's the party. He takes everybody down the hill to the games.
I love
and, it. You know, he totally retrofitted this thing. So
that is funny.
It's actually pretty cool. But I don't think you're going to want something quite as uncomfortable for the long road trips because, you know, having the school bus is, like, great for the 20-minute ride down the hill to the game.
Yeah, to make it the tailgate truck, that sounds awesome.
That's
to
cool.
To make it the cross-country, we're driving from Houston to Minnesota. I'm not doing that in an old school bus. It's not happening.
I was looking at the old Prevost motor coaches, you know, looking at those.
There you go. He buys an old motor coach.
Huh.
Now we're doing something.
What does Greyhound do with their old buses?
That's
when
very
done
funny
with them?
And terrible.
I don't know. If you want van envy, Ben, go to BeckerAutoDesign.com. I mean, that's not going to be good, but they retrofit the inside of vans into Learjet quality, you know, for the CEOs who turn it into the mobile office and they get chauffeured around. It's just a cool website to look at all these awesome van conversions that
Again,
are just
all the parts of the internet that I don't know about until I hang out with you.
There is a woman who was on an exercise bike in the luxury van.
I'm looking right now.
Did you see her?
I haven't seen her yet.
She's pedaling.
Haven't seen her yet, but this is madness.
In the Learjet luxury while they've got the screens and the... I don't think that's
not where we're going, but it is the... Yeah, we're off. I'm off into a whole rabbit trail. It's really all bad.
When it comes to vans, there aren't too many options.
Not like this. Yeah.
It's not good enough. I like the style a lot better, but I am kind of with you. Sprinter. But there is, you know, in the future, if you need some light customization as far as a seating configuration as the kids grow or something like that, and you don't want them to be, you know, quite as uncomfortable as the stock, just thin 2 inches of foam kind of seats.
Those, the benches is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. They
park benches would be another good word. Yeah.
It is like same lateral support as a park bench.
It's exactly like that. There will be no sharp cornering. Yeah.
For sure.
You're
limited. So.
Here's my big question for Ben, actually. Have you driven a Sprinter and have you driven a Transit? Look, the point here is...
Important. Very important.
Not because you're going to hoon it down an off-ramp, okay? I'm not suggesting that, though the kids might find it fun. But the thing I'm really wondering is...
Dad got it on two wheels again. You should go with him next time.
Everybody get to the right side of the van so we can turn right faster.
That's it.
Anyway,
it's like you're tacking down the on-ramp.
Exactly.
Everybody go to that side of the boat.
It's active driving. Passengers are all involved. We put you on here by weight. Yes. Anyway, no, the thing is, drive them both because you're going to be spending a lot of time in that driver's seat. Make sure you have driven both. And does that change your opinion? Just because it's got the configuration and the engine you want, you've got to sit there and interact with it a lot. Mm-hmm. So drive that Transit and drive the Sprinter. I think those are your two real options. I hear you on the diesel. I like the Sprinter. I have two Sprinter stories for you real quick. First, dig into the Sprinter forums, and they are dense. Dig into the Sprinter forums and find, I mean, van life, yo. I'm doing the hashtag. You just can't
oh my
see
gosh.
It, okay?
The, oh
there,
my gosh,
there's a ton of them out there. I just did just do that. The, dig in and find out common known problems with that engine configuration. Because two Sprinter stories real quick. I have a friend who has one that is also an actual camper. It's a Sprinter that's turned into a
like
camper.
Like the outdoor adventure van kind
yes.
of deal?
And invariably, he will be in the middle of nowhere, some tiny little town, and something will break. And it'll be like ignition coil or some part that you could fit in the crook of your hand that they can't get for 3 weeks. This has happened to him on more than one trip.
Right.
With his Sprinter-based...
It came from Stuttgart.
Exactly.
Air
with his
mail.
His Sprinter-based van. The Ford Transit's going to be a lot easier to get parts like that. So just look in on that diesel. Make sure that... Just find out your known issues so you can look on those ahead of time. I think the Sprinter is a good option because I know another guy here in Park City. His daily is a Sprinter van.
Really?
He has no reason for it to be because it is just him driving around to commute. But they have it because they are that family on their street. They've got like three kids. But anytime they take the kids anywhere, anybody in the neighborhood's welcome. This is the family that doesn't lock their door and everybody's walking in and out all the time. Oh, yeah. And there's like cats and dogs. I mean, they are like the general house where everybody is welcome. They're great people, okay?
Didn't you say there's a trampoline in the...
There's a trampoline in the middle of the entryway
yeah.
that you walk in on second floor and kids' heads are popping up from the ground
That's
floor.
That's got to be weird.
It is really
Bing
weird.
Bong. Hi,
it's
everyone.
Really, really weird, but they're great people. So the point here is they have a Sprinter van for this purpose, and I have helped them load benches in and out. My son's gone on adventures with them. They fill it with kids and they'll go do something. And that thing just runs.
Who wants ice cream?
Seriously. So look into known issues with the engines you're looking at. I think the Sprinter's a great one. Let's solve the 16-year-old problem real quick.
I agree. Very much so.
$5,000. Right. I've got two to consider. Mini Cooper. Don't get the S. Just get a Mini Cooper with the stick shift. Also look at the Honda CRZ. Not as fun to drive as the Mini Cooper, but an interesting little, you know, almost disposable car for the first-time driver. I think those are worthwhile. And then if you want to be, I don't know, take the risk, third-gen Miata. The NC will fit you and your wife. They're Ooh. Not overly powerful. You can get them for this budget.
Yeah. Really?
The early ones. The ones with the cup holder in the door that you're going to want to change the door card. Anyway, yeah.
Sawzall takes care of that, too.
You can solve that lots of ways. But I think she would enjoy driving. And I know a couple of kids here that have driven Miatas as their first cars. It's been very successful. I think she would enjoy driving it, and you guys would enjoy driving it. And it'll be cheap to own and run.
I had a Mini Cooper on my list, too.
Did you? Look at that.
I found an 09 yellow Cooper S for $6,000.
Ooh.
Because I always, you know, I look at the $6,000 like, you could work them down to $5,000 kind of
budget. I agree.
So
that's how you got to shop.
That's
for
my
sure.
thinking. I had Mazda 3 on the list. I had Prelude. I had Civic, you know, being the Honda guy that you are.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I had this fourth or fifth generation Honda Prelude. I like the fourth generation, 91 to 96.
Those were cool. Yeah.
But the fifth generation, also good, 96 to 2001. But I'm thinking cheap to maintain, cheap insurance. Yeah. And you kept saying accident and dings and scrapes and you don't want to care about it and you want to hose it out and you want to... You know, hang it up to dry kind of thing.
My car's been retrofit like a Wrangler. The doors come off. It's awesome. Yeah. Pull the pins. Take the doors off.
What color is that? Rhino liner. Oh, that's a lovely shade. I didn't.
What I always think is hysterical is when you see the Rhino liner Jeep driving through stop and go traffic in Los Angeles, and I'm pretty sure that car's never even been off road.
That's the commute car.
That's the commute
right.
car. We Rhino liner.
They didn't just
thing.
Roll in from Central
yeah.
California.
No,
or
they didn't.
Texas.
They just commute that way. Yeah, I love that one.
I look at Prelude because, man, those things will run. Mm-hmm. You can get them stick shift, and they're such good cars to have new drivers in, kids in to just bomb around in, and they're not powerful either.
Yeah,
which is good. And then I keep coming back to insurance. All right, you got to let us know, especially on the van thing, Ben. I mean, this is really interesting. I see a Sprinter in your future, but that's cool. But could we at least do wheels and at least carve out $300 to get yourself a really nice pair of noise canceling headphones?
Because the entire back is full of people and noise.
I'll wait for my thank you letter.
sponsored by noise canceling headphones.
Just kidding. We Ben, thank you
questions.
So much.
We should do some questions. The podcast is coming to an end, but we should try some questions. I want to start with Vlad's question. Hey, man, how are you? He's asking Veloster N versus Fiesta ST. He's saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. And we and others have talked about there's some commonality. There's some common purpose and feel in these two. But he doesn't feel like he's heard anybody yet say the Veloster is just definitively better than the Fiesta ST. Why not, is his question. Hmm. Is it just the Fiesta's been around longer? What's the story? I actually think that the big thing is the Fiesta is one of those, and we've said it before, those moment in time cars where you kind of can't believe the car is that good and it came out of nowhere. I don't think the Veloster N has that.
Sure.
I mean, look, it's a great car. It's a great car. But I think the handwriting was on the wall for that car to exist. We were watching Hyundai make changes and head toward that route, and here's the new Veloster. It's a second-gen Veloster. We went with the N. Honestly, it's better than I expected it to be, but I don't think that's – this is going to sound weird. It's better than I expected it to be, but I don't think that's a surprise.
Okay.
The Fiesta ST, when it dropped, everybody was like, you did a what now?
You made what?
And then everybody was realizing this is great. So it has that surprise factor that the Veloster N, I don't think, does. I also think the factor here is that the Fiesta ST is really small and very light, more so than the Veloster. And something about the kind of high, light seating position of the Fiesta, it feels very chuckable. The Veloster feels very planted. I actually do think the Veloster N is better than the Fiesta ST, but the Fiesta ST just has, I'm sorry about the cliche, it has that go-kart chuckable feel that the Veloster feels more planted and car.
Mm. That's good. I'm going to leave that right there. Jump into Quantum Ocean Lawyer on Instagram.
I like that one.
If you were able to Geely-ize...
Ooh, I like this.
...another car company. We've got Lexify, now we're adding Geely-ize. That is the word that implies to spray cash in the general direction of a
That's
car
good.
Company.
Lexify and Geely eyes.
Fire hose full of cash, sprayed at high speed. He says, dump a bunch of money on any car company. What do we do and what would it be?
Okay.
Well, keep in mind, when Volvo was Geely-ized, they existed. They also existed in worldwide markets. They were here.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have
to
be some lame car company dormant over here like TVR in Britain.
Let's Geely-ize them, though, because that would be fun.
Wouldn't that
anyway,
be cool?
Go on. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying they're lame,
but
I'm just saying they're certainly dormant.
Yes, yes. They have that trouble. They're trying to come back, but yeah, I take your point.
It's more like a duck.
But
kablam!
But Volvo was already making... You could currently go buy a Volvo when Geely bought them and then made them more. I take
correct,
your point.
Completely. Correct. Yeah. So that is on the table. And so what do we think? What are we thinking here? Well, I decided, Quantum Ocean Lawyer, on Alpine.
Oh, Alpine's good.
The Renault division that has the A110 and the A110S and just a limited product lineup right now. Keep in mind, Lotus was Geely-ized, and then they came out with the Avija.
We hope so. We'll
see.
So,
holy moly. And,
I want them to actually come out with a product you can buy, but we'll see. Yeah.
Well, yeah, for sure. But, they were Geely-ified. Geely-ized. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Geely-ized.
So, I like Alpine. I'm thinking maybe Renault in general, and of the French car manufacturers, I think I like Renault the best just because of, Formula One and their racing history, and, they don't go crazy as Citroën. Those are just quirky and weird. But, I like Renault. I liked a lot of what they do, and I like their hot hatch. I want more hot hatches in the U.S., so, having the Megane here would be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
I'm going to say Jaguar. Currently owned by Tata, I believe. I think so, because they're bleeding cash. They're bleeding cash. Mm. And I think Jaguar needs a parent who allows them to be even more Jaguar. Right now, I see them checking. Here's what I mean.
Need to be more leaping cat-like.
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
I see them checking boxes to make sure they compete in every market with their styling language. Let's make stuff that just stands out as that is a Jaguar and nothing else. I think they need to go. Feel like they're 80% to where they need to be. Let's push them a little extra bit of madness, and I think that would be really interesting with Jaguar.
I mean, I can't wait to Geely-ize. Name a thing you want to spray cash at.
Geely-ize.
Kablam!
Only today on Everyday Driver. Brags on Instagram said, "Okay, hang on. Heel towing. Is this really faster? Is this really necessary?" Why heel toe, try to drive fast? Why not just be braking in a straight line? Now you're going through the corner. Now you do your shift. Now you get on the gas and go. You're doing the whole process in just more graduated steps. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you've said later that you're actually learning to heel toe. You are in the process of learning. I have absolutely done what you've done. I've done it on a racetrack. It is not fast. Because what happens is when you actually heel toe properly, you're coming into a corner and you hit the brakes. And while you're having your braking event, the heel toe opportunity allows you to put it in gear while the car is still concentrated on braking. The car's doing one thing, braking. You've already solved a step you need in a minute, which is I need to be in a different gear. You've done it at the exact same time. You've multitasked. So the minute you come off the brake, you can start giving the car gas. If you're talking about speed, you have got to have that already in gear. And the minute you're off the brake, you can put power to the wheels. This is the benefit of good heel towing. What you're doing is you're adding a step in the middle, so that means you're coasting around the corner while you shift. It's not as fast. Do you care that much? I don't know, but this is the progression. Hopefully you can take the in the middle of the corner one and bring it around to braking. If you're worried about fast, that's the way it's done.
There's a question on Twitter over here from Adam D., who asked, what is the best way to get off dealership call and email lists after test drives?
Yikes.
This is the main reason he avoids test drive homework.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's not a requirement. And they ask, and no is a perfectly acceptable answer.
Can I have your phone number? No, you cannot.
One of my favorite phone numbers to give out is 867-5309. And if they have half a brain, they'll look up and say, you don't really want to give me your number, do you? And you say, kindly, no, I don't. Because, you know, you're going to spam me for all of eternity and my grandchildren, too. So, do you have to give it out in the first place? No, you don't. You're not required. Will that make them grumble and be gruff with you? Probably. But, you know, say, look, I'll take your card. I mean, this... I've done that before. I'm not saying anything against the salesperson doing this. This is part of good sales. You need to harvest people's phone numbers so you call and ask for business. Of course. This is part of sales. However, some car salespeople can be very pushy and kind of get annoying, and it's up there with telemarketers. I do get that.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid it in the first place, you can just kindly say, you know what? I'm serious, but I'll take your card and I'll keep you in mind. Maybe you have an email address that is, you know, sometimes email service providers will give you an option of doing, you know, five extra emails that all point to the same one, but they're a different name.
You got your car spam address.
You do.
Oh,
you
no.
just might. And you say, you know, some funny name that kind of gives them the like, ah, right. You're playing a game with me, aren't you? You know, like whatever you want to name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from a number perspective, it's tough. Obviously, you can block it on your phone. Obviously, you can unsubscribe or block emails. You can put it in the spam folder. And that's really about as far as you can go. Because if you say, please don't call me tomorrow, they're going to laugh at you and keep calling.
But I have done what you've said before. And I have actually said to the salesman, he said, can I get your phone number? I've said, not right now, but I'll take your business card. And that's worked. Doesn't always work, but generally they'll go that route.
You know, if you're serious and you say, you know what, I'll take your card and I'm making a decision and I'm going to call you back on Tuesday at 3 and that's when we'll talk. How about that? If you give them more specific, concrete stuff, you know, I'm going to get on your calendar and I'll call you then and I'll, you know, *82 block my number before I call and, you know.
Wow, you've done this before. That is funny. Clint Morris, real quick, and then I'm actually done for this podcast. Clint Morris said, it sounds like we've used underhood mics on some videos. He thinks the ZL1 and the GT350R are examples. What makes us make that decision? No, Clint, that's not the case. We mic all our cars the exact same. The difference is some cars are louder than others and they demand to be heard. It's the difference between having an opera singer in really well accosted hall and somebody that just thinks they can sing. The cars that are really loud really make it known, and I get into post-production with their audio and I'm like, yep, I can hear the exhaust. It sounds pretty awesome. Some cars, you're like, wait, did I put an exhaust layer in? I did. Why can't I hear it?
Right.
Really depends.
Guys, we've got a blaze. Thanks a million for your questions. We're still working through the pile, but keep asking. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all your questions on the email as well. Looking forward to next time, everyone. Cheers.